Now unto him that is able, everybody say able, say ability. Unto him that is able, or unto him that has the ability to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The scripture doesn't say, now to him that does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us at all times. It says, he that is able or possesses the ability to do these things. Anybody ever heard of potential? Somebody, we use that term sometimes, and a lot of times people use it in reference to other people. Well, he's got a lot of potential. He shows a lot of potential. He's a smart kid. He's a smart guy. She's a smart girl. She shows a lot of potential. And then usually that's followed by, but they've just never really seemed to develop. Or they've just never really taken initiative. Or they've just never really buckled down. I got a little bit smart aleck with the guy I report to a few years ago, and they always make us do these self-evaluations on my job around review time. You know, you evaluate yourself and then put that piece of paper in front of me and then I'll see if I agree with it. I hate those things. I don't like self-evaluating myself. It's uncomfortable. You know, what's your top three accomplishments this year? I don't know. You tell me. You're the manager. But I fill them out, and there was this question about, where do you see yourself in 3 years in this company, you know? Another one, you know. I don't know. You tell me. I don't really have any control over that. And so just to kind of get a little twist in there, I said, I want to move beyond potential to reality, you know. Everybody was, man, you got potential to be a great manager. You got potential to be a great, you got potential. I want to move beyond potential to reality. He read that and he said, what's that mean? I said, I'm tired of people saying that I have potential. You have this potential. Yeah. At the time, I was probably 31. That's 32 years old. I said, I'm tired. I'm 32 years old. I'm tired of having potential. If I don't measure up, tell me. And I'll fix it. But it's this scripture, this wording of able and having the ability to speaks of the potential to be able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And boy, this can be a scripture of faith for us. If people of the name of Jesus and people who are spirit-filled with the power of Jesus, if we ever really grabbed a hold of, Brother Cool, this scripture and what it means to us, I'm telling you, we could shout till the cows come home. If we really believed it, we could really see things that are exceeding abundantly above what our minds can conceive. Because I'm a thinker, I'm a dreamer, and I can come up with some pretty lofty ideas. If you ask me what I'd like to see happen in my life in the next 20 years, where I'd like to be at, what I'd like to own, things that I'd like to possess, I can make lists and I can paint you word pictures. I won't go into it tonight, but I can really come up with some good stuff. And to think that in everything I could ever come up with in my humanity, he can go above and beyond that if he so chooses to. Right. Let's think about that spiritually. What do you believe tonight God could do through you? Are you just spirit-filled? Are you just here because, you know, this is what you're trying to do to get to heaven? Or do you believe that God has a plan and a purpose for you spiritually, and he has a place and a gifting for you in his kingdom? And how do you see yourself fitting into his kingdom? What's your identity in the kingdom of God? I'm asking to think about this tonight. And this isn't a question that I'm asking just so we have something to talk about tonight. I want you to think about how do I see myself in the kingdom of God? Where do I fit in his kingdom? Do I know where that is? Some of you may just, boom, you just know right off the bat. And others of you are like, oh, I think I know. But to think about that, and whether you know or you don't know, or you think you know, or you want to know, to think that isn't even, it doesn't even scratch the surface. Of what he can do in you and through you by his spirit that he put in you. And sometimes we grasp this, the idea that he is able. Now, the part that we wrestle with in this portion of scripture is what happens when we know he's able, but he doesn't. That's difficult. We've talked about that before. That's one of the most difficult parts of our walk with God is knowing that God is able, that he has the ability to do something, but he chooses not to for whatever reason. It doesn't maybe make sense to my mind and my understanding at that moment, but he chooses not to do it. That's something else we have to wrestle with. Now, jump ahead, if you would, Brother Kendrick, to Jude, the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24. I'd like to read that in the New Living Translation, if it's possible. And now, all glory to God, who is able. Everybody say able. He has the ability to, the potential of, keeping you from stumbling, and who will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of sin, and with great joy. Amplified Bible says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling into sin and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless in the presence of his glory with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time and now forever. Amen. One of the things that I enjoy to do most nowadays is take my kids to parks. They love parks. And it's a fun time. I can go to a park and I can just kind of chase them around a little bit, relax a little bit, and they just enjoy it. And my son has got to the point where he is just a daredevil around play structures. Fearless. You know why he's fearless? Because he knows that I'm lurking just around every corner. And when I hear the, oh, 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 I know that he's hanging off something about ready to fall further than he probably should. He's got himself into some predicament. And he knows when Dad hears that, oh, 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 I'll come running and grab him and pick him up. And, you know, usually he's hanging by his hands off this edge of this play structure. Why does he do that? Because he knows that I have the ability to keep him from hurting himself. And for the times, he trusts that. And he even gets mad at me when he gets hurt. He'll trip and fall in the house, and he'll go running through the house. He'll trip and fall, and he'll hit his head on the floor. And he'll get up. He's so upset at me. He won't even come to me and let me comfort him. He wants to go to his mother because he's so upset with me that I didn't keep him from falling and hurting himself. Like, you do it every other time. Why don't you get off the couch and, like, catch me, Superman? Because he's got so much confidence in me keeping him, protecting him. And you do the same thing with your children. As they get older, you know, it's we talked a little bit about this last week, but it's this idea of, you know, being that shelter around them. There's certain things I don't let him do. He really wants to ride his sister's bike. Absolutely not. I'm just not going to let you do that. Not big enough yet. But I have the ability as dad to protect him from certain things. I just do. And I do my best to do that. But the scripture here begins to talk about this absolutely preposterous idea. That the same God who has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, how also has the ability, Sister Beery, to keep us. One version says from backsliding. Another version says from falling into sin. Another version says stumbling. All encompassing of all these things. He has this ability to keep me from sin. Now I say that I use the word crazy, preposterous, whatever. Because in our humanity, we don't necessarily identify with that. We generally view God as in this place of, we view God in this place of waiting for us to fall so that he can discipline us. When in fact, if we'll let him, by his grace, the same power that worketh in us, according to Ephesians 3:20, also has the ability. It's not a different power. It's not a different spirit. It's not a different realm or dimension of the spirit. The same power that works in Ephesians 3:20 has the ability to do what Jude 1:24 is talking about. Now, I go through my daily life. I go through situations. I go through struggles. I have temptations just like the rest of us. All of us are the same. None of us are excluded. And each of us on a daily basis find ourselves stumbling in some form or fashion. We're not perfect. And for some of us, our stumbling takes us to different levels. It takes us to different places and causes us to deal with different levels of guilt or shame or whatever the scenario is. On a yearly basis, a monthly basis, daily basis, whatever you want to say. Maybe you have the ability to go a few days without stumbling or just, you know, I'm not talking about gross sin. I'm just talking about our humanity. We make mistakes. We don't respond properly. Maybe we don't pray. Maybe we don't get time in the Word. Maybe we don't spend enough time with the Lord. And so we find ourselves stumbling. There's stumbling blocks. It's amazing how quickly time in life gets away from us. I came to the church, I think it was yesterday, and I got here early in the morning. I had full intentions that I came here to pray, to take care of some work stuff, and then I was going to hit the road. And I got here, I don't even know what time I got here, it was early in the morning, and I made the mistake of going in and turning my computer on first before I came in here to pray, and that's where it ended. While I was waiting on the computer to boot up, my phone rang. And next thing I knew, I looked down, it was 11 o'clock. And I needed to leave, and I thought, the enemy got in my way. He allowed things to come up because I made a choice. See, had I come through those doors and come straight to the front and prayed and then gone and turned the computer on, had I overcome that. But see, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, I need to check and see what's happened overnight since I haven't checked my email since 4 o'clock. I should probably check in, make sure. And so I thought, well, I'll just run in there real quick. Let's talk about everyday life things. He has the ability to keep me from those things. When I came in the door, he gave me two choices. I could choose to spend time with him first and then go deal with life, or I could go deal with life and hope that I had enough time to spend time with him when that was all finished up. You know which one I chose. That happens to all of us on a daily basis. You've heard me say it before, but there's mornings I get up and I get up at 6 a.m. I think, man, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord before the family gets up. And I can get down on my knees in that red chair by the front door and I can bury my face in it. And within 2 minutes, I'm feeling this tap on the shoulder. Dad, can I have some breakfast? It's 10 after 6. Go back to bed. And it's derailed. But I found myself pondering this idea because it's so foreign to me in my humanity because I'm so programmed for failure. In fact, I'm convinced we as human beings program failure into our daily lives. And even when we're doing really good, even when things are great and we're disciplined and all these avenues of our life, you know, we go through this season of time. Maybe, you know, school just started, so maybe that's a good time to use. You know, we get school starts, so we go to bed at 8 o'clock and we get up at 6 and we make a lunch and, you know, we start the coffee and we got everything going. Everything's good. And then, you know, like by the third day of school, we go to bed at midnight. We're up at 7:45. We're running down the block to the bus. We got no lunch, no coffee, nothing. I've got some people that identify with this. It's like we just, even in my own life, I look at things sometimes and I'm like, man, I'm doing really good in this avenue of my life right now. Got good discipline, got good structure, things are going good. I wonder when I'm going to fail. These are the thoughts that go through my mind. I wonder when I'm going to mess up. I wonder when I'm going to have that one day that I'm too tired to work out, so I just don't work out. And then the next day, I'm like, I'm really tired today too, so I'm not going to work out. Next thing I know, I walk into the gym. They're like, man, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. Yeah, I know. And that day that I came, I had great intentions of coming back the next. I nearly programmed failure into my life because I know that I'm gonna make a mistake. I'm gonna stumble. I'm gonna let down someone. My precious wife, she says, I got 3 baskets here in the closet. Could you make sure that this color clothes get in this basket and this one get in this basket? And yes, I can. I can do that. That's easy. And I do really good for a few days. You know, socks in here, shirts. And then it's just like one night I come in and it's late. I'm tired. I'm like, which basket's which? Oh, and who cares? And this is how our daily life goes. This is life. Now I should really do the dishes before we go to bed tonight because if I do, I'll be ahead in the morning. And then, you know, oh, but I'm tired. It's okay. We'll just leave them in the sink. And then the next morning you get up and you're like, oh man, I forgot I gotta rush off to this. And this is our daily lives. And so then when we step into the spiritual realm and we're, you know, we're doing our best to live for God and stay in relationship with Him, we deal with so much daily failure and misstep. I hate calling it failure because it's just business. It's life. I don't even like, that's not even a great term to use because I'd be painting myself a failure tonight if I was to term it that. So let's use a different term. We just become undisciplined so quickly. So when we step into the spiritual realm, when we start to talk about our relationship with God, we take the same approach like, wow, me and God are really close right now, but I know that there's something coming up. You know, it's finals week or it's that really busy week of the month on my job or something, and me and God are going to start to grow apart. And then I start dealing with the heaviness of that, and then a few other things slip in, and before I know it, I come in here and I'm under this big old load of guilt and shame because He has the ability and wants to keep me from that. But I have to let Him. And as long as I'm trying in my humanity, as long as Nick's trying to be good and Nick's trying to be perfect, you see, there is no perfection in me. I'm not perfect. I can't be perfect. It's impossible. I have imperfections in me. I see those imperfections in myself. I see how I respond to things. I see how I react to things. I see and I know and I how I feel about certain situations, and I know that those things aren't right. I know what I get upset about. I know what is silly and ridiculous. And I'm like, why did I just get upset about that? That was so ridiculous. I know those things. I see, I'm imperfect. But yet I have a perfect Savior.
who exampled his life for me on this earth. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. And he's saying, hey, listen, if you'd let me, if you'd let the Spirit that I put within you do the work that I desire it to do, if you could learn to trust my grace, it's sufficient for you. It has the ability to keep you. It's like dad on the playground running around, keeping you from falling off the equipment. You have no business climbing. That's what he wants to be. That's who he wants to be. But I don't know that we believe that. I don't know that we live that way on a daily basis. And the more that I stumble, the more guilt and shame that I live under, the more that I address or I deal with failure in my life, the more guilt and shame that I live under. And you know that that stuff's not of God. It's amazing how much of that we bring on ourselves. You know, I can pick on myself. I don't feel bad picking on myself. You've heard me talk about my struggle with nutrition, eating right. It never ceases to amaze me how much guilt and condemnation I heap on myself, when I don't eat right. My doctor told me, he says, you shouldn't have any dairy anymore. But you know what? I really love half and half in my coffee. I love it. That's one of the favorite parts of my day, is a little bit of half and half with coffee in the morning. And you know what? I started feeling so guilty. I heaped so much guilt upon myself. And I was walking around and I finally asked myself, what did you do? Did you sin today? Well, I don't think so. What's going on with you? Oh, I've heaped a bunch of guilt on myself because I drank some half and half in my coffee this morning. We're so quick to heap guilt and shame on ourselves and live under this heaviness and this oppression for things. And that's why we so quickly do it in our spiritual walk. When we know we don't live up to par or what we believe the Lord expects for us. Who sets that bar anyway? Did the Lord talk to you this morning and said, I need you to do these 55 things, and if you don't do those 55 things today, you're going to hell? No. Did I get up here tonight and I say, there's a list that's going to be up on the PowerPoint before you leave tonight, Brother Kendrick will be putting it up, and if you don't hear that list between now and Sunday, don't even show back up. But that's how we live sometimes. And so if we didn't get to check everything off our list, we're like, oh, dear God, forgive me. He says, that's not the point. I put my Spirit inside you to keep you. I have the ability to do that. But I have to trust his ability and allow him to do that through me. Because right now, it's just potential. Potentially. For the times the Lord could keep you from falling, potentially. But will you allow him? To my boss, potentially, I'm a great manager until he lets me manage something. Do you have the faith to trust him that he's able? I don't care what it is. He's able. Everything in my life that I come up against, he's able to help me with. He's able to do it through me. He wants to do it through me. He's a beautiful Savior, and he takes his hands off. He's not going to force himself on me. He's not going to make me do it his way. He'll wait for me to say, okay, Father, keep me today. A few years ago, I started praying for the keeping power of God to be upon my life. Keep me from sin, because sin's running rampant in our world. There's opportunity abundant to fall into sin on a daily basis. Keep me from falling today. You know what I'm going to face. You know what I'm going to see. You know what situations I'm going to come in contact with. You know what decisions I'm going to be faced with today. Jesus, you keep me from falling, because I'll make the wrong decision. I'll take the wrong road. I will mess up. Left to myself, Brother Tom, I will mess up. But when I let him keep me, oh, it's a beautiful thing. That's an element of trust, though. It's an element of trust. Let's stand together. Jesus, I pray, keep us tonight, Father. As your word says you have the ability to do, I pray, keep us. Every person under the sound of my voice in this room tonight, Father, you know, you see, you know the path that we walk, you know the situations that face us, you know the situations that surround us on a daily basis, you know the decisions that are before us. I pray in the name of Jesus, let your spirit prevail in each of us, that same spirit, the power that worketh in us to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let that same power be keeping power in our soul and our spirit today, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you are well able, Father, and I put my confidence in you today. I trust you today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you back here on Sunday.